Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. This week we're celebrating Passover, and in keeping with our tradition here at English Corner, I'm going to read you a holiday story. This is called The Magician. It was published in the book Yiddish Stories for Young People, compiled and edited by Itchy Goldberg. But first, some background about the author, I.L. Peretz. Isaac Leib Peretz is considered to be one of the three great classical Yiddish writers, along with Mendel Amocher Seforim and Shalom Aleichem. He was born in Zamość, Poland, in 1852, and raised in an Orthodox Jewish home of Sephardic origin. At the age of 15, he joined the Haskalah, the Jewish Enlightenment movement, and began a deliberate plan of secular learning, reading books in Polish, Russian, German, and French. He soon began to write poetry, songs, and stories in Hebrew. However, his first poem in Yiddish, a ballad called Monish, was not written until 1888. From that time until his death 27 years later, Peretz wrote hundreds of Yiddish stories, poems, plays, articles, and songs for children. In 1889, he settled in Warsaw, where he became the teacher and guide for many young Yiddish writers who came to him for criticism and advice. Between 1894 and 96, he published a series of magazines called Die Yontif Blättlich, the Holiday Papers, which were published on the occasion of each Jewish holiday. They included stories and poems, as well as articles on political, scientific, and cultural topics. He was a writer of social criticism, sympathetic to the labor movement, and was arrested and imprisoned by the Tsarist police while reading one of his stories to a gathering of Jewish workers. Between the years 1899 and 1914, Peretz wrote his famous folk tales and his Hasidic tales. After the outbreak of World War I in 1914, and until his death the following year, Peretz devoted his entire energy to the children's community homes and schools which were established in Warsaw for the thousands of homeless and orphaned child victims of the war. During that year, he wrote many poems and songs for children. Peretz died in Warsaw in 1915. There are streets named after him in Poland, in Zamość in Warsaw, in several cities in Israel, and Peretz Square in Lower Manhattan was dedicated in November 1952. And now to our story. Into a little town in Volhynia, once upon a time there came a magician. And although this was in the troublesome days before Pesach, when a Jew has more worries than hair on his head, his coming caused a great stir. A puzzle of a man, ragged and tattered, a silk hat dented and creased on his head, a Jewish face, but without a beard, a shaven face. He had no passport, and no one saw him eat either kosher or non-kosher food. It was anyone's guess who he was. If questioned, "Where from?" he answered, "From Paris." "Where are you bound for?" "London." "How did you get here?" he answered, "Lost my way." Apparently footloose, he never appeared in the synagogue, not even on the great Sabbath before Passover. And if they annoyed him or crowded around to question him, he was suddenly gone as if the earth had swallowed him, only to emerge on the other side of the marketplace. In the meantime, he rented a hall and began to perform his tricks. And what tricks! Before the very eyes of the townspeople, he swallowed burning coals as if they were grains of barley. And out of his mouth he pulled all sorts of ribbons, red, green, any color they called for, and as long as the Jewish exile. From a boot top, he shook 16 pairs of turkeys, turkeys as big as bears, which scattered all over the place. Then he raised his foot, and from the sole of his shoe scraped gold coins, a basin full of gold coins. At the outburst of applause, he whistled once, and Sabbath loaves and honey cakes flocked into the air like birds, and began to dance in a ring and in other formations close to the ceiling. He whistled a second time, and everything vanished. No loaves, no ribbons, no turkeys. Gone. Well, it goes without saying that other people, too, can display wonders. The magician sages of Egypt most assuredly performed greater tricks. The question, however, remains, why is this magician such a pauper? He scrapes gold coins from the sole of his shoe and hasn't enough for his room at the inn. With one whistle blast, he bakes more breads and Sabbath loaves than the biggest baker, produces turkeys from his boot top, and his face is drawn, haggard. Better-looking corpses have been laid underground, and hunger flares in his eyes like a flame. A joke begins going the rounds. This is the fifth question to be added to the Manishtanah at the Passover Seder. But before we come to the Manishtanah, the four questions, let us leave the magician and turn to Chaim Yoina and his wife Rivka Bela. Chaim Yoina had once been a timber merchant. He had no sooner invested his cash in a forest than all cutting in it was forbidden, and he came out of the deal with the one shirt on his back. He then became a recording clerk in some lumber operation, but soon lost this job. He's been months without earnings of any kind. What a winter they survived. May all the anti-Semites have such winters. However, after winter comes Passover. Everything has been pawned, from the candlesticks to the last pillow. Rivka Bela says, go to the community house and ask for aid from the Passover fund. Chaim Yoina says that he trusts God, that God will help them, and he will not need to suffer the disgrace. Whereupon Rivka Bela again scours and searches every corner of the house and discovers an old silver spoon, really a miracle of miracles. The spoon had been lost for years. Chaim Yoina takes the spoon, sells it, and carries the few pennies to the Passover fund to supply provisions for the poor. Poor folk, he says, need it more. Meanwhile, time passes. It's now only a few weeks before Pesach. He's as trustful as ever. God, he says, never forsakes anyone. Rivka Bela is silent. A wife must obey her husband. Another day passes and another. Rivka Bela cannot sleep nights, buries her face in the mattress and weeps quietly so that Chaim Yoina may not hear her. And there's no indication they will be able to observe Pesach. And her days are worse than her nights. At night, her tears unburden her heart. In the days, however, a person must pinch her cheeks so that they keep their color. Neighbors stare after her and gape until their eyes pop and pierce her with pitying glances like needles. Others ask, when will you bake matzahs? How about your supply of beets? Those closer to her say, tell us, what is wrong, Rivka Bela? If you need anything, we'll lend it to you, and other such talk. Chaim Yoina, however, will accept no gift from man's hand, and Rivka Bela will not act contrary to her husband's wishes. She comes up with the most incredible excuses, and her face turns redder and redder. The neighbors, seeing that things are not as they should be, run to the rabbi. The rabbi, poor soul, listens, groans, and ponders, until finally he answers that Chaim Yoina is both a learned and God-fearing man, and if he has faith, he's justified in it. Rivka Bela is left even without candles for the benediction, and Pesach has come. Thank you. Haimyoina, walking home from the house of prayer, sees that all the windows in the market square shine with holiday gaiety, and that only his dwelling stands like a mourner at a wedding feast, like a blind person among the seeing. Still, he does not lose heart. He thinks, if God wills it, we will yet celebrate Pesach. He enters his house and says cheerfully, Gut Yontif, happy holiday, and repeats the greeting, Gut Yontif to you, Rivka Bela. And Rivka Bela's voice, filled with tears, answers him from a dark corner, Gut Yontif, good Yor, a good holiday, a good year. And her eyes, like two burning coals, glow in the dark corner. He approaches her and says to her, Rivka Bela, today is a holiday, liberation from Egypt. Do you understand? Mourning is forbidden. Besides, what is there to mourn about? If the Almighty does not want us to have our Pesach feast, we must accept his will and sit at someone else's Seder. Then we shall go elsewhere to a Seder. We will be admitted everywhere. All doors are open. Jews say, let all who hunger come in and eat. Come, take your shawl, and let us knock on the door of the first Jewish house. Rivka Bela, who always does what her husband desires, holds back with all her strength the cry which is forcing itself into her throat, puts on a torn shawl, and is about to go, when at that very moment the door opens, someone enters and says, Gut Yontif. They answer, Gut Yor, a good year to you, without being able to see who had come to call on them. I want to be your guest at your Seder, says the newcomer. Haimyoina answers, We have no Seder ourselves. The other replies, I have brought the Seder with me. In the dark, sobs Rivka Bela, who can restrain herself no longer. Certainly not, the guest answers. There will be light. He pronounces, Hocus pocus. Two pairs of silver candlesticks with lighted candles appear in midair in the center of the room. The room is bright. Haimyoina and Rivka Bela discover that it is the magician. They gape, and for amazement and fright cannot utter a word. They seize one another's hand and stand staring and open-mouthed. In the meantime, the magician addresses the table, standing demurely in a corner, and says, Well, my boy, cover yourself and come here. And just as he speaks, a snow-white tablecloth falls from the ceiling and covers the table. The covered table begins to stir and moves into the middle of the room, stops directly under the candlesticks, which descend and place themselves on the table. Now, the magician says, the only thing missing are couches to recline on. Let there be couches. Three chairs from three sides of the room move and place themselves at three sides of the table. The magician commands them to make themselves wider. They do so and become large armchairs. Now he commands, softer. They drape themselves with red velvet, and immediately snow-white pillows descend from the ceiling and arrange themselves at the magician's order on the armchairs. And there are the couches. At another command, a platter with the herbs for Pesach appears upon the table, and also ruby glasses, bottles of wine, matzahs, and everything else needed for a kosher and joyous Seder, even including Haggadahs with gilt edges. Do you have water to wash with? The magician asks. I can bring water, too. Only then did they recover from their amazement, and Rivka Bela whispered in Haimyoina's ear, Is it permissible? What do you say? Haimyoina does not know what to answer. Thereupon she advises, Go, my husband, and consult the rabbi. He replies that he cannot leave her alone with the magician, and that she should go. She says that the rabbi will not believe a foolish woman, and will think instead that she's out of her mind. Therefore, Both of them go to the rabbi and leave the magician behind with the Seder. The rabbi says that what is created by magic has no reality because magic is merely an optical illusion. He advises them to go home, and if the matzahs will break in their hands, the wine pour into the glasses, and the pillows can be felt, then all is well. This is a gift from heaven which they may enjoy. This was the rabbi's decision. With fearful hearts they returned to the house. They entered and the magician was no longer there, but the Seder feast was there as before. The pillows were real to the touch, the wine poured, the matzahs broke in their hands. Only then did they realize that this was the prophet Elijah, and they had a joyous holiday. We hope that you liked our story and that you too are having a joyous Passover. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSephirod.com. See you next week.